Good morning. It's 9:20 or 9:32 a.m. We are here today, March 28, 2019, in the OPA hearing room, suite 907 of the DNA building in Hagatnik, Guam, for the formal hearing continuation of OPAPA 19-001, JJ Global versus the Guam Visitors Bureau. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Anthony R. Camacho. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jarrett Hernandez and Clarissa Roque. Will Appellant JJ Global please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Vanessa Williams, counsel for JJ Global, and together with me is Mr. Luis Bustamante, president of JJ Global.
Thank you. Will Purchasing Agency GBB please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yes, good morning. My name is Tom Fisher. I'm an attorney representing the Guam Visitors Bureau, and seated to my left is Ms. Doris Atta, who is the agency representative.
Thank you. Will Interested Party Landscape Management Systems, Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. I'm Mitch Thompson, counsel for Interested Party Landscape Management Systems, also president. Mr. Rocket Salas.
Thank you. We may proceed.
All right. Before we begin, because we're just going to do closing arguments today, and do any of the parties need any additional time to set up any audio visual displays, so on and so forth? I don't see any, so I'm assuming no.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Mr. Thompson, no? All right. So our order of march, we will allow the plaintiff or the appellant to go first for their closing statement. Mr. Fisher, you will follow with the purchasing agency's closing statement. Mr. Thompson, you will follow Mr. Fisher with your client's closing statement. And Ms. Williams, I'm going to allow you a brief rebuttal thereafter. Okay. So, that being said, Ms. Williams, you have the floor for your closing statement.
Thank you, Mr. Hearing Officer. GVB only now claims that JJ Global's protest was untimely because there was no way that this procurement was ever going to survive scrutiny on appeal. JJ Global appealed their determination of non-responsibility because they knew it was bogus, and when they tried to verify any of the information that GVB claimed, it became painfully apparent that the procurement record was materially incomplete and in violation of procurement law. GVB couldn't provide anything to back up their determination of non-responsibility when they were first FOIA'd in November 2018. They couldn't put together a complete procurement record for the OPA when they filed it with their agency report in January. They couldn't even put together a complete procurement record when they filed their so-called daily activity log earlier this month, about 4 weeks ago. And they couldn't even put it together when they're given one last opportunity to file something this past Tuesday at 5 p.m. Now, GVB claims that four of JJ Global's references were unhappy and unsatisfied. Those were the words used in the determination of non-responsibility. They claim these references were from the Department of Parks and Rec, the airport, GPA, and GWA. Yet, we still don't have any substantive evidence in the procurement record of these communications from these four agencies. Now, Christine Lazama testified these communications would have taken place in between the bid opening on August 20th and her bid analysis and administrative review on August 30th, a window of 10 days. She first testified when she spoke with these four references that she spoke with a Mr. Bill Rages at the Department of Parks and Rec. And her testimony was he was satisfied. Ms. Lazama testified she spoke with someone at the airport, and her testimony was they just said they cut the grass. Ms. Lazama testified that she spoke with GPA, and her testimony was they just said the contract was terminated. When asked why, she said she couldn't recall. That was it. Then she testified that she couldn't recall what GWA said. So based on Ms. Lazama's first testimony, initial testimony, it doesn't match up with GVB's determination of non-responsibility. None of the four communications she attests to said they were unhappy or unsatisfied with JJ Global's past contract performance. Then Ms. Lazama changes her testimony when she reads some undated, hand-scrawled notes, and then she claims, well, GWA and GPA said they weren't satisfied. And Ms. Lazama testified that GPA would provide testimony. Now the question is, if GVB wanted this testimony or some supporting documentation to that the airport had supposedly said on the phone, why didn't they get this in the procurement record? Why didn't Christine write it down? Why didn't they get a copy from GPA? Meanwhile, for the first time yesterday, We hear that Ms. Doris Atta also spoke to some of these same agencies. Ms. Atta says she spoke with someone else at DPR and they said they were not satisfied. Ms. Atta says that she spoke with someone else at the airport and they sounded reluctant to share information. Ms. Atta says she spoke with Ivan at GPA and he says they were not satisfied. And then she says that she didn't speak with GWA at all. Ms. Atta also says that she has notes for this, but admits these were never in the procurement record and doesn't recall what they say. So now we have three different versions of what was communicated. Ms. Atta claims she has notes somewhere else. So if Ms. Lizama's testimony can change in the course of a couple hours after seeing her notes, who's to say that Ms. Atta's testimony wouldn't change if she would see these notes that we've never seen and were never included in the procurement record? We also have the daily activity log that GVB submitted about a month ago. And what's important is in this daily activity log, none of these seven communications between Ms. Lizama and Ms. Atta is in there. They note emails with other people. They note phone calls with other people. They note meetings, but none of these communications from the four references regarding JJ Global are in that daily activity log. What are the chances that every single one of these communications just with respect to JJ Global is missing from that log? So now the problem is we have not one, not two, not three, but four different stories from GVB on how they came up with this determination of non-responsibility 5 months ago. This isn't transparency, and frankly, it's a mess. The only thing that would provide clarity to this mess is some single comprehensive communications log in the procurement record. These communications are directly material to the determination of non-responsibility, which was the only way that JJ Global would be disqualified and the only thing that would have prevented them from winning this bid because they were the lowest bidder. Now, there are other problems with these four different versions of events. GVB claims they used the project reference list and that it was important in determining the responsibility of the bidders. It was so important that both Ms. Atta and Ms. Lizama testified that they needed to verify information and double check. But why would we arbitrarily accept Ms. Atta's communication with DPR that they were unsatisfied over Ms. Lizama's communication with DPR that they were satisfied? And the evidence shows that LMS never submitted a project reference list. Instead, they submitted letters of reference within their bid package. But GVB, Ms. Atta, Ms. Lizama didn't double check this information. They didn't feel it was important to verify this information. They took it at face value. And Ms. Atta is so certain that she spoke to all of JJ Global's references, why doesn't she remember whether she did any of this for Canton Construction, the third bidder, if this was so important? GVB's timeline is also suspect. The bid opening was on August 20th. Ms. Lizama claims she conducted all reference checks between August 20th and August 30th, the window of 10 days. She claims she did nothing on this procurement after drafting a letter to JJ Global on September 28th. Now that September 28th letter only states that GVB needs updated contact information. It doesn't state anything about negative references. So the question is, if GVB had everything they needed at that point in time, and Ms. Atta and Ms. Lizama didn't do anything after that letter and while Ms. Lizama was on leave, why didn't they give JJ Global a notice of non-responsibility in the September 28th letter? And why did GVB wait until they awarded the contract to LMS to notify JJ Global of their supposed non-responsibility? So either way, GVB's determination of non-responsibility was an abuse of discretion because these communications are either non-existent or they're inconsistent. If they're non-existent, that would make their determination of non-responsibility arbitrary and capricious. If they exist and they're merely inconsistent, they're in violation of law because they're required to include every single one of these material communications in the record and log every one of these communications in the procurement record. So, after all of this, that brings us back to the issue of GVB What date GVB served JJ Global of this determination of non-responsibility? Despite this mess with GVB's record keeping, despite this lack of transparency, despite their failure to keep their own deadlines, their clerical errors and mistakes, they want us to believe that JJ Global is the one who's committing a fraud here, because there happen to be two copies of a document with different dates. Now, there's no question that these two copies of the acknowledgement of receipt were signed by Rose Menno. Rose Menno admits this, no one's challenged this. The problem is one is dated November 1st at 4:11 a.m., the other being dated November 7th at 4:11 p.m. Now, GVB claims that the November 7th document is incorrect because that would make this whole thing go away. And that would be the easy way out. But there's no evidence to support an outrageous claim that there was criminal activity on JJ Global's part. What Rose did testify to, and what the evidence shows, that it was a busy payroll afternoon when she received the notice of non-responsibility, and those days never fall on the 1st. JJ Global's paydays are on the 7th and the 22nd. Unless the 7th or 22nd happens to fall on a Saturday or Sunday, then it will be within the next business day. But the point being is that it never is never on the 1st. And Rose remembers this clearly because JJ Global doesn't have a whole lot of foot traffic. In fact, almost none of its customers walk in the door. Everything is done by phone, and she remembers the messenger coming in, standing there, and the smack dab in the middle of a two-hour payday payroll window where you have 100 or so people coming in. She remembers it being hectic. Now, the more rational explanation is that when she signed these two copies, one for GVB, one for JJ Global, in the midst of this busy payday afternoon, that she simply made a mistake. One of these documents is a mistake. Now, meanwhile, Lisa Lanik and Garrett Uggen from GVB just conclude that the documents dated the 1st because it's the 1st. That has to be the right date, because if it wasn't the 1st, we'd get in trouble. That's what they testified to. But they don't remember anything specific about this day. And Garrett's story doesn't add up. He says he gave it to a male employee when there's no male employee that runs the admin office at the time. He said the way he described Ms. Menno was inaccurate. He walked right by her in the hallway, and he still couldn't remember that she had a cane. So what is more likely? That JJ Global, a company who's been in business for 25 years, has worked on countless government contracts, who continues to do business with both GVB and the airport to this day, fraudulently filed this appeal, or that GVB simply made another one of their countless mistakes in this procurement, and they are counting on Ms. Menno's one mistakenly dated receipt on a busy payroll day on the 7th to get this whole thing thrown out. It's clear from the weight of the evidence that this is Rose Menno's Scrivener's error. And it's understandable considering when the GVB dated the document. It's understandable that they were in the middle of a payroll afternoon. It makes sense, it's rational, it's reasonable, it's human, and it's legal. GVB, on the other hand, had months to get their procurement process right. They had more resources, they had people supposedly checking, double-checking, verifying each other's work, and yet they still couldn't provide a single communication from any one of these four agencies they claimed they spoke with. Also, their errors aren't excusable. They are violations of law, and their continued failure to maintain a communications log and the procurement record must be stopped. There needs to be consequences that GVB knows, so that GVB knows it's not above the law. They have to do this. The determination of non-responsibility was an abuse of discretion. It should be voided, and LMS's contract should be terminated. Thank you.
I just have one quick question. Ms. Williams, you mentioned at least three times during the course of your case in chief about this November the 28th FOIA request. Did your client ever receive documents as a response to that request?
Yes, they did. I believe it was on or about December 19th, and at that point they filed a second protest based on things they found within that FOIA.
Okay, so you did receive procurement records on that day, or December the 19th, would that be correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. All right. Mr. Fisher, on behalf of GVB.
Thank you. Here we are on an appeal of an agency decision. And we just heard, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes from the appellant. I don't know what they think we're up to, the Guam Visitors Bureau. The evidence we had is that JJ does have contracts with the Guam Visitors Bureau, and they've alleged hostility and bias, and we're up to, we're just a bunch of no good nicks up to who knows what, trying to keep JJ Global from getting a contract. It just boggles the mind. I don't know why they attribute evil to us when there's no evidence of that. I understand that they are disappointed. You know, people put in efforts to put these packages together, and they hope to win it. You know, and there's a lot of hopes and dreams based on this the government lucre. But, you know, in any competition, there's somebody's going to be disappointed, and they just didn't make it. Their performance is not good. And the agency made a determination that it wasn't good, and they failed to push back against that determination, even though they've had ample opportunity to do so. The Guam Visitors Bureau invited them to do so. They said, show us our determination is wrong as to GIAA and GWA and DPR and GPA. And they declined to do so, although they were given the opportunity. I mean, you know, GITA wasn't out to, or excuse me, GVB wasn't out to shoot them in the head. If our determination of non-responsibility was wrong, show it to us. So they had that opportunity. You know, we invited them to do so, gave them 14 days and nothing, silence, crickets. Not a word came back from them. And then today, or excuse me, yesterday, Ms. Lazama testified and Ms. Atta testified, and I would submit that I think it was clear to everybody in the room that there was no fabrications from either of those personnel. You know, they testified that they came to a rational decision based on the information they were getting, that the performance at these various agencies and entities was deficient, and they issued subpoenas. They certainly could have subpoenaed, you know, Mr. Cruz from the airport and Mr. Regis from the Department of Parks and Recs, and, you know, all these gentlemen and ladies could have come in and said, yeah, you know, JJ Global squared away. We'd do business with them again and nothing. They had no support, none, for except for hearsay within hearsay that Mr. Bustamante gave us. No support whatsoever that their performance was good. So they didn't rebut, although it was their burden, they didn't rebut the agency determination at all. And frankly, they didn't even attempt to. The agency determination, I don't get this conclusion that because there wasn't a particular note that the lady wanted to see in the record, that somehow made the determination arbitrary and capricious. The question of arbitrariness and caprice goes to the state of mind of the individual when the decision was made. So the fact that they think there's no notes in the record, of course there is note in the record. The fact that they think that does not make it so. Just the contrary, you know. I think it's commendable that the Guam Visitors Bureau was checking each other's work to see whether or not, in fact, it was true that you know, I'll get the personnel mixed up, but you get the idea that Mr. Regis, for example, said that they were no good, and then you know somebody else calls him up and says, "Is it true they're no good?" I mean, that's commendable. There's hardly any indication of leisure demand or, you know, misstep. So no pushback. It was their burden. The decision by the agency that they were not responsible was good. It was neither arbitrary nor capricious nor contrary to law. But then, well, now we have the question of that odd, to say the least, Ms. Meadow testified yesterday. She signed that document twice, and that was her writing. And then she was the one who wrote the date, not us. And then they submitted it. And I don't, you know, frankly, what they did is JJ Global faked that up and submitted it to this agency to make you think that it was a timely protest when it wasn't. And I don't attribute that that knowledge to Ms. Williams. I want to be clear on that. You know, lawyers take their clients as they come. And I agree. And yesterday I was trying to figure it out. Why in the world, you know, for GVB to come up with this extraordinary plan where we're going to get two documents, one on the 1st and one on the 7th. We're going to have them both executed on November 1st. We would have had, if we were up to no good on this, we would have had to have foreknowledge that JJ Global was going to protest the solicitation, and we would have to have had foreknowledge that their protest would be untimely. How would we know that? I mean, JJ Global could have protested this on November the 8th, and this issue never would have arisen. So we were either the most clever agency that I've ever heard of, or GBB is telling the truth. GBB is telling the truth. Garrett Uggen, classified employee, he's got, you know, he doesn't have a dog in the race. He's not gonna, he can't get fired. Neither can Ms. Linick. The only person that would be subject to employer discipline for any of this stuff would be Ms. Menno, who's been working for JJ Global for 20 years. She's clearly, she's devoted her adult life to this, and I'm sure JJ Global wouldn't be so vindictive as to fire her because they didn't get out of her what they wanted. That's her adult life that was invested in this, and she was she is subject to being fired. It's a private employer. And she came forward and testified. She signed two documents, two different documents, and dated them different. It just boggles the mind. Now they had a key opportunity to establish their case. Would have blown us out of the water, I suppose, if they produced the log.
Can you speak into your mic, Mr. I think you're getting a little too far.
Too far back?
Yeah, okay. Too far back.
Okay. They had a key opportunity to address the situation. Ms. Menno said they had a log. They should have produced the log. If they produced the log, then we would know that they were telling the truth. But they didn't produce the log when they had an opportunity to. You know, what's a principal evidence? If, you know, a party comes forward and they produce one piece of evidence, when there's a better one available, you can view the evidence they did produce with suspicion. I forget, that's one of the principles of evidence. It's in 6GCA. So they had the log. Didn't produce it. So this idea that that their protest was timely, this hearing officer would be well within his rights to view that with suspicion. You know, I'm just going to cut to the chase. They didn't push back on her determination and non-responsibility. It's untimely. Well, it's untimely. I know Mr. Thompson has some words to say, so I'll pass it over to him. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fisher. Mr. Thompson, on behalf of the interested party.
Thank you. LMS submits that this case boils down to two questions. First, was JJ Global's protest timely? Second, did GVB abuse its discretion in determining that JJ Global was not responsible? Based on the evidence we heard yesterday, LMS submits that the answer to both questions is no. Let's look at the first question. Was JJ Global's protest timely? Now, it's undisputed that under Guam law, a disappointed bidder such as JJ Global has 14 days in which to file their protest. And if they don't make that 14-day deadline, their protest is untimely and the OPA has no jurisdiction over an appeal regarding that untimely protest. What was the evidence we heard yesterday? We heard from Lisa Lehman. She testified she's a classified employee of GVB. She testified that on November 1st, GVB's president, Mr. DeKnight, gave her the notice of non-responsibility regarding JJ Global and told her, get this served on JJ Global today. Ms. Lehman then testified that she gave the notice of non-responsibility to Garrett Uggen, another GVB employee, and told him, we need to get this filed today. Mr. Uggen testified. He took the notice, he took the envelope he received from Ms. Lehman and served it on JJ Global on November 1st. Mr. Uggen further testified that he got a receipt from JJ Global showing that the document was served on November 1st. He then further testified that he went back to GVB and gave the receipt to Ms. Lehman, who corroborated Mr. Uggen's testimony that she received the receipt showing that the document was served on November 1st from Mr. Uggan on November 1st. Now, these GVB employees, they have no incentive to lie. They have no skin in the game. They're classified employees. Let's compare and contrast with the evidence offered up by JJ Global as to this issue. They brought in Rose Meadow, and she said, well, you know, I was so busy that day. On one receipt, I wrote November 1st, and then just seconds after doing that, on the other receipt, I wrote November 7th. That's not believable. Who would do such a thing? And let's consider who has greater incentive to make up a story. Again, the GVB employees, classified employees, no skin in the game. Miss Rose Meadow. Well, she's not some low-level flunky at JJ Global. She's apparently an important person there. Why do I say that? She signed the protest in question. Rose Meadow signed the appeal of the denial of that protest. Rose Meadow signed the Sunshine Act request submitted by JJ Global regarding this project. So who has more of an incentive to come up with a story that favors their employer? The classified GVB employees or the employee from JJ Global who's signing important corporate documents? Another important fact that came out during Ms. Rose Meadow's testimony is that JJ Global maintains a log of incoming documents. And Ms. Meadow admitted, this notice of non-responsibility would have been entered on that log, which raises the question, why didn't JJ produce the log? As Mr. Fisher noted, it's a well-established principle of evidence that when there is a record in possession of a party and the party fails to produce that record, the finder of fact may properly draw the inference that that record is adverse to the party in possession of the record. And this is codified at 6 GCA 8101, subpart 7. In this case, the hearing officer would be well within his rights to presume that the failure of JJ Global to produce this log is evidence and proof that that log does not support their claim. Based on the evidence that the hearing officer heard yesterday, we believe that JJ Global has failed their burden to show that they timely submitted their protest, and the appeal should be dismissed on that basis alone. But even if JJ Global's protest was timely, they still can't get over the second hurdle, which is it's their burden to show that GVB's determination of non-responsibility was an abuse of discretion. What was the evidence we heard on that point? Well, Ms. Lozama and Ms. Adda testified as far as the negative response they got from various government agencies as far as JJ Global's performance. What did JJ Global offer up in response to that? Well, we got second or third-hand hearsay from Mr. Bustamante about something that somebody told somebody else. Ms. Lozama, Ms. Adda testified about the information they personally received from the government Guam agencies. And so in trying to weigh the evidence, we have direct testimony versus third-hand hearsay. And even if this third-hand hearsay should be considered by the hearing officer in this matter, it would not be surprising, and it's understandable, that let's suppose you're working for one of these agencies, GWA or GPA, and someone from JJ Global calls up and says, hey, why did you give a bad reference to GVB about us? It's understandable that the employee who receives a phone call like that might try to downplay what he or she may have told GVB. So I think that's an understandable explanation of what happened here. Assuming that, to quote Mr. Bustamante, his staff members would never lie to him. Let's compare and contrast the references submitted by LMS versus those submitted by JJ Global. Ms. Lozama testified about the references submitted by LMS, and these are found at tab A in LMS's exhibits. Ken Corporation, which owns three major hotels on Guam, submitted a glowing letter of reference. They said, LMS has always provided excellent and proficient work addressing its highest demands. Ken Corp went on. The high standards of LMS labor management and planning is evident by their efficiency in all aspects of their work performance. Now, it wasn't just Ken Corp. The United States Navy stated that the dedication of LMS's team has provided to continuously improve the exterior appearance of the facility. It was second to none, and I have been very impressed by the commitment of your staff to meet and exceed my personal expectations. So these are pretty good letters of reference. Did JJ Global submit similar letters of reference? No. They submitted instead a list of purported references. But when Ms. Lozano went to follow up on these references, because they didn't submit letters, so she had to try to contact these people on her own, it turned out that there was missing contact information, there was inaccurate contact information, and Ms. Lozano missed out to testify as to the inordinate amount of time they had to spend to try to track down the missing information that JJ Global failed to provide. And it's also noteworthy that GVV twice gave JJ Global an opportunity to correct these deficiencies. First, there was the letter from Mr. DeKnight in September. This is Exhibit 10 in JJ's binder. In December, Mr. DeKnight sent another letter asking JJ Global, give us statements from responsible persons at these agencies if you think our determination is wrong. And what was JJ Global's response? Nah, we're not going to do that. JJ Global's failure to respond to Mr. DeKnight's letter speaks volumes. It's well established under procurement law that an agency such as GVB has broad discretion in determining whether or not a party is responsible. Ms. Lozama, Ms. Ada testified about the negative response they got when they checked on JJ's purported references. Based on the evidence available to them, they made a determination of non-responsibility. JJ Global has failed its burden of showing that that determination was arbitrary or capricious or an abuse of discretion. And so their appeal on this issue should be denied as well. Thank you.
Ms. Williams, any rebuttal?
Yes, thank you. GVB asks, or sorry, posits, I don't know what they think GVB is up to. JJ Global thinks GVB is not following the law. They don't have to be good. They don't have to be bad. It didn't have to be intentional. It could have been reckless, but they still have to follow Guam procurement law. Now, both GVB and LMS highlight that JJ Global never responded to their determination of non-responsibility, and LMS says, oh, this speaks volumes. Well, you know what speaks volumes is they did this 6 weeks after they awarded the contract to LMS, and they did this well over a month after they supposedly had all the information they needed to issue this determination of non-responsibility. Finally, JJ Global knew it wasn't true. Now, LMS says, both LMS and GVB highlight the rules of evidence, which we know don't apply in this hearing. And they both state, well, this is all hearsay within hearsay, what Mr. Bustamante says. But what about what Ms. Lozama and Ms. Ada testify to? That is hearsay. And their hearsay, or those communications, are required by the procurement law to be included in the record. Now they say, oh, well, why didn't you call GPA or DPR to this hearing? Why didn't you ask them to testify and prove a negative that they didn't say what they didn't say? But that wasn't JJ Global's responsibility. GVB had a responsibility to include those communications, or at the very least a log of those communications in their record. They should have done that when they were during the course of the solicitation. They should have offered that up when they certified the procurement record. They should have offered that up in response to the FOIA. They should have done it when they filed this agency record and report, but they didn't. They make note of, oh, well, there's a log of sign-in somewhere that JJ Global has. How dare they not keep this log? It's almost laughable that they're accusing us of not producing a log that would prove something. This whole issue is about them not producing communications log. They've never disputed this. They've admitted this. They've shown in their subsequent filings and testimony, they've shown how incomplete the logs that they keep are. And this is required by law. This is material to their determination of non-responsibility. Now they go back and they want, and they're trying to paint Rose Menno as having some incentive or some importance to forge a document and perpetrate a fraud on behalf of JJ Global, and that Lisa Lanik and Garrett Uggen are just, you know, innocent employees. Rose remembered details of that day. They want this office to take an adverse inference in the fact that she didn't produce a log. Well, Rose, not only is she not some high-level employee, she's just a receptionist. She's not a lawyer. She didn't know that. She doesn't know, and they accuse her of, how believable is it to make a mistake when she signs a document, signs one the first and the next the seventh? Oh, that's not believable. Yet, it's very believable on that same document, it was a mistake that she signed 4:11 a.m. So it can't have it both ways. Either it was served November 1st at 4:11 a.m. or served November 7th at 4:11 p.m. Now, we have met our burden of proof. We have showed that GVB had an obligation under the law, that this obligation to keep a communications log is not discretionary, and that the failure to do so was material to their determination of non-responsibility. They can't turn around and point the finger at JJ Global. Thank you.
Thanks. I'm going to take this matter under advisement and essentially issue a decision in writing within 30 days of today's hearing. I think in the, I'm having a senior moment here. Try to remember the actual date that I submit the revenues brief. I think it was Monday, this coming Monday.
I think it was last week.
Last week. I thought I changed the date.
I think the date was the 18th. But that
would have been for the first.
Yeah, that's, and we never changed the date.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I didn't set that date, I'm going to require, today is Thursday. I require that the remedies briefs, it's not a mandatory document, so you're not required to submit one, okay? But if you want to submit one, they should be filed and served on the other parties no later than 5 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, April the 2nd. Now,
thank you. JJ Global actually submitted a remedies brief by the initial deadline because it wasn't changed. May we submit an amended remedies brief by the deadline?
Yeah, so if you've already submitted a remedies brief, you may submit an amended one.
Thank you.
Just a little bit on the remedies brief. Please don't take a liberal view as to them. It is not a proposed findings of fact, conclusions of law. It is simply what you think the appropriate remedy in this case ought to be. As a party, that's all it is. So that's it. So April the 2nd, 2019, by 5 p.m. Okay, will be the date for those if you desire to do that. Do we have any other matters before we end this proceeding?
Nothing from agency.
Nothing further.
All right, then these proceedings have concluded.
We're off the record at 10:10.
A.M.